find out when I get the. I'll find out when I get to. Rosh Hashiva called a few moments ago. They wouldn't be able to make it. And so we'll do the best we can. What I'm fortunate is that it's appropriate the Medrash. Rabbi Akiva saw his Talmidim were misnamnim. He saw his Talmidim were dozing. And the kasha right away you can ask is, how is it possible that Rabbi Akiva, the great Rabbi Akiva, is giving a shir? How could it be his Talmidim were dozing? You talk about Rabbi Akiva himself is giving a shir, and they go to sleep. So probably it was a shir that he was giving on Tanis Esther, a little before Purim, a Purimic spirit, and they were preparing themselves for the big event that was coming. So it says, so he told his Talmidim that how come Esther ruled over 127 countries, Yovah, the Enikul of Sarah, should come who lived 127 years, and she'll rule over 127 countries. So Baruch Hashem, now everybody's awake. I said the Medrash Rabbi Akiva said to wake up his Talmidim. Now I can continue. Chazal tell us, Meshenichnas Adar Marbim B'Simcha. What is this Simcha that we're supposed to feel when Adar comes in? So there's a Gemara in Megillah that says, L'kulam noson ish chalifa smolis. When Yosef revealed himself to his brothers, he gave all of them five sets of clothing. Ol Binyamin noson chamesh chalifos. To Binyamin he gave five sets of clothing. So the Gemara asks, how could Yosef do that? They get one set, Binyamin gets five sets. They're going to be jealous. Efshe Dovish and his dire boy, it caused him such problems. All these problems with the Ksenis pass him, and he would make the same mistake again. The Gemara says, no. That was a remez he was trying to do over here. Remez she'osid ben lotzos menu. There's going to be a son coming out from Binyamin. She'yetzim lefnei ha-melech. There's going to come out before the king. B'chamishe levushim malchus. That Mordechai is going to come out before the king with five types of begodim. As the Pasuk says, Mordechai yotzim lefnei ha-melech levush malchus. T'cheles v'chor v'terezov. And it lists five types of big day malchus that Mordechai wore. So that is why now we understand why he gave Binyamin five sets of clothing. To Meramis to Mordechai. What's pshat in this Gemara? He's being Meramis to a story that's not going to take place for another 1,000 years. Why would he want to be Meramis to the story of Purim now? So perhaps you can understand it. We have to analyze what was happening back then. Yosef was acting as this harsh, cruel Egyptian ruler. Very mean to his brothers. Why was he acting like this? Why was he disguised as this mean ruler? So he felt he's entitled to, because he saw that his brothers had taken his coat. They disguised it with goat's blood and took it to their father. So if they can disguise his coat, he's entitled to disguise himself. So why did they disguise his coat? And they felt they're entitled to, because Yosef is dressing up as a b'chor. He's dressing up with the Ksenis Pasim, some Choshev, who is he to dress up like that? He's not a Bechor. So if Yosef can disguise himself, we can disguise his coat. And why did Yosef disguise himself as a Bechor if he wasn't a Bechor? So Yosef felt he's entitled to. He should be the Bechor, because really Yaakov wanted to marry Rachel first, but what happened? Leah disguised herself as Rachel, and Yaakov landed marrying Rachel first. Marrying Leah first, but really wanted to marry Rachel, so therefore he's entitled to act as the Bechor. But why did Leah disguise herself? Leah felt she's entitled to. Why? Because she saw that Yaakov wanted to get the brachas, so he dressed himself up as Esau. So if Yaakov can dress himself for what he thinks is right, I can dress myself up. And why did Yaakov dress himself up then? Yaakov felt he's entitled to, because Esau is dressing up as a tzaddik. He puts on a shtramel and bekasha, and he goes to his father, how do you mice assault? So if Esau dressed up, Yaakov can dress up. Yaakov can dress up, Leah can dress up. Leah can dress up, Yosef can. Yosef can, they disguise his coat. And now Yosef is disguised as this mean ruler. Right now, this custom party has come to an end. Yosef reveals himself to his brothers. And what he's trying to tell them is, this custom party is over. And during this custom party, it was very difficult to see who was who. But there's going to be a custom party where it's not going to be people in disguise. It's going to be the Rebbeinu Shlom himself is going to be in disguise. And it's going to be very, very difficult and almost impossible to know who the Rebbeinu Shlom is. Until finally, the end of the story, Mordechai will come out with those five begodim and everybody will recognize how the Rebbeinu Shlom was involved all along. But at the time of Purim, it's going to be very difficult. Rav Dessler explains the difficulty. He says, what happened then? In the third year of Ahasuerus' reign, he made a party. Mordechai told the people, don't go. It doesn't matter if it's glatt kosher. But you can't go to it. But they insisted on going. They felt, every nation in the world is going to go. We're going to be the only ones not there. It's pekuach nefesh. We have to go. And they went to the party. And you can imagine that the party there, Mordechai is demonstrating outside. You see his nose pressed against the window. Come out, come out. And he's trying to stop them, but it doesn't help. They insist on being at the party. But the party didn't work out so badly. One of the biggest enemies of Klal Yisrael, Vashti, was killed at the party. So you can imagine some of them were thinking, see, it wasn't so bad to go to the party in the end. Ribbono Shel Olam was not so upset about it. And then 9 years go by. It's the 12th year of the reign of Ahasuerus. Haman comes to power. And everybody bows down to Haman. Mordechai refused to bow down. And they tell him, you're going to have to bow down. It's not Avodah Zarah. Moran Sanhedrin says, it's not Mamash Avodah Zarah. You have to bow down. But Mordechai refuses. They said to him, Te Yodea, Shat Mapileinu Becherva Rosha. You're going to cause us to get killed by this Rosha. And what happens? Exactly what they predicted. There's a Gezerah, Lahashmed, Laharag, La'abed, Iskol Yehudim. And we have to imagine, had we been there, whose side would we have been on? Because Mordechai comes and tells them. They say, it's your fault. You made this gezeira. And he says, me? 9 years ago, there was a party. Imagine the people who are 18 years old. 9 years ago, but I don't even remember a party 9 years before. But anybody, even. 9 years ago, there was a party. That is the cause. They can't relate to it at all. A religious fanatic. It's one of these people, signs against the big event. One of those people. They can't understand such a thing. What is he talking about? It's... You went and make problems for us, and then you blame us for it. But in the end, Klal Yisrael recognize. They rally around Mordechai. They do tshuva, tzoim, tefillah. They understand. Until finally, the gezeira is mevotel. The Ribbono Shel Olam shows when Mordechai comes out with the five begodim. The pasuk says, V'zichrom lo yosef mizarum. The Purim will never disappear. All Yom Tov will be bottled except for Purim. Rav Hutner explains, why is that? What's so special about Purim? He says, there was an army base, and on this army base, two men had guard duty. One of them had a flashlight, so at night he was able to recognize the people when they came in. The other one, he didn't have a flashlight, so he needed to recognize the people. It wasn't easy. So he learned to recognize their voices. It took a while, but eventually he picked up this skill and instantly he could recognize people's voices. Comes morning, the one with the flashlight has no use for it anymore. He puts it away. But the one who learned how to recognize people's voices, he can use that skill even during the day, even when the job's over. There's something he's acquired. He has a new skill now. So Rav Hutner explains, there are two types of anoichi. There's anoichi Hashem alekecho, Asher zetzicho mez Mitzrayim. There's no noichi where the Rebbeinu Shlom showed us who he is. Gilu Shchino, Rosh Shivcha Leyom, Mashalo Roy Yecheskel Ben Buzi. There's a time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu shines a flashlight. It's very clear to see the Rebbeinu Shlom. But there's another type of anoichi. Anoichi Haster Aster Esponai. The Zman of Purim, the Zman of Choshech. It's difficult to see the Rebbeinu Shlom. And then we have to use a special skill to be able to see the Rebbeinu Shlom. It's not easy to see the Rebbeinu Shlom at that time. The pasuk says the Rebbeinu Shlom is mashkiach min achaloinis and is metzitz min acharakim. There are two types of ashkocha. There's mashkiach min achaloinis. The Rebbeinu Shlom looks out the window, and when the Rebbeinu Shlom is looking out the window, we can see the Rebbeinu Shlom looking out at us. That is one type of ashkocha. But there's another type. Meitzitz Menacharakim. The Ribbono Shel Olam is looking through the cracks. We don't see the Ribbono Shel Olam watching us. He sees us, but we don't see him. That is the Zman of Purim. And that is something that we acquired at that time. An ability to see the Ribbono Shel Olam even in Zman of Choshech, a Zman of Hester Ponim, a Zman of Golos. So when the final Gula comes, and the Ha'ir Shel Gilu Shechina, that light is going to be Shivasayim Ka'ir HaChamor, seven times the light of the sun. At that time, what's going to be the use of a flashlight? When you've got such Gilu Shechina, the flashlight of Yitzis Mitzrayim, and all Yomim Tovim, which are related to Yitzis Mitzrayim, which are Zeche Yitzis Mitzrayim, all those Yomim Tovim become bottle. But Purim wasn't a skill that we acquired. That's a skill we acquired, and that remains with us forever. And that is why that Yontif will not become bottle. And that is the battle that we have today as well. To be able to recognize, in this Choshech, to be able to recognize the Ribbono Shel Olam. And there's times we don't recognize, and the Ribbono Shel Olam does things to show us. We start believing, Koichi V'yotzim Yodi. It's very easy to start recognizing, to start thinking Koichi V'yotzim Yodi, especially when you live in a Medina Shel Chesed like America, and everything goes smoothly, and you forget there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. So a few years ago, the Ribbono Shel Olam made a 9/11, and that shook up the world a little bit, and then people started noticing there's a Ribbono Shel Olam for a little while afterwards. But then that wore off. So Ribbono Shel Olam also shows us Koichi V'yotzim Yodi. There are people who hand bonds in a company called GM. Because if you have bond, money in GM, that's like putting money in the treasury. That's 100% safe. You can never lose money in GM. Because the way GM goes, the country goes. There's no America without GM. But what happens? GM is looking like it won't last much longer. The Ribbono Shel Olam showed us things that we believed have to be in a certain way. It doesn't have to be. There's a Ribbono Shel Olam, whatever the Ribbono Shel Olam wants, that is what's going to be. We have no idea what's going to be. And just like we think it was FDIC insured, it's guaranteed. Nothing can go wrong. The government guaranteed it. That doesn't mean anything. There's a Ribbono Shel Olam. And we have to recognize there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. As long as we think when we have money in the bank, it's our money, we've got a problem. It's not our money. It's our money as long as the Ribbono Shel Olam wants it to be our money. The battle with Amalek, the Pasuk says, is Melchemes Hashem b'Amalek is midor dor. Is throughout the generations. It's not just in one generation, it's in every generation. We don't know who Amalek is. What are we fighting? We're fighting this side of Amalek. Asher Korcha Baderech. Asher Korcha, says Rashi, is Loshen Mikre. That we look at things as they just happen. Things are chance. We don't realize it's the Ribbono Shel Olam is behind everything. That is the battle we're fighting today. That is what we have to learn from. But very often, we do recognize Hashgacha Pratis when we want to recognize it. And when we don't, we ignore it. There's a Maaser, Rabbi Yerucham was traveling with a Talmud of his. And they stopped off in a certain town. And it was Shabbos. And this Talmud was called up for Shvi. In that town, the minig was that Shvi is given to somebody who's a lo yutzlach, a schlepper. Somebody didn't make it in life, you give him Shvi. He has a chiyuv, you give him Shvi. So this bocher, they gave him Shvi. So afterwards, the Mashgiach, Rabbi Rucham, says to him, obviously, you're not making a very good impression. They don't look at you as a Ben Torah. They gave you Shvi. You've got to work on yourself a little more. So the bocher said, Rabbi, you don't have to worry. Because when the Gabba called me for the Aliyah, he pointed at me and I came. He didn't mean me. He meant the person behind me. And I made a mistake. I thought he meant me. So you don't have to worry at all. Rabbi Rucham said, oi, it's much worse than I thought. I thought the Gabba looked at you as a schlepper. Now see, it's the Ribbono Shel Olam gave you this aliyah. It was Hashgacha Pratis you should get this aliyah. It's much worse than that. We have to realize everything that happens is Hashgacha Pratis. The Gemara in Yuma tells us, Lom nimshle Esther la yeles ha-shacha. Why is Esther compared to the morning star? Ma shacha soif ha-layla. Just like the morning is the end of the night, Af Esther Soif Kalanissim. Esther is the end of all Nissim. What's Pshat in this Gemara? The Marsha already asked the Kasha. Because if Esther is the end of the Nissim, it should be Esther is the end of the Yoim, not the end of the Laila. It's the end of Nissim, not the beginning of Nissim. So why does it say Esther is the end of Laila? It's morning when this Nissim stop. So the The Rebbe Yonason, Yaris Devash, he explains it. That when Klal Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim, the Rebbe Yonason made unbelievable nissim. Because Klal Yisrael and Madrega then, they didn't realize that the Hashgacha of the Rebbe Yonason is on everything. And something we have to realize, in every movement we make, there's Rebbe Yonason involved. They said, Rebbe Yonason, they looked at us for big things. They were able to ask then, Hayesh Hashem b'kerbeinu im ayin? Is Rebbe Yonason with us? They had questions, and the Ribbono Shel Olam had to constantly reassure them over and over again, different nissim. And he says, Ibishas writes, these nissim continued for hundreds of years. Every so often, the Ribbono Shel Olam would make nissim because they needed this chizuk. And we have to realize how wide the Hashgacha goes. That the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't just run the big things, because we make a bracha. One bracha we talk about, the Kisei HaKovod. You look at all the brachas, all the tefillahs, and we never talk about Kisei HaKovod. And strangely enough, in one bracha we talk about Kisei HaKovod. Which bracha? Asher Yotzah. Strange bracha to mention Kisei HaKovod. And what it's telling us is, because a person can make a mistake, they go to the bathroom, and they think, oh, that's one place, there's no Ribbono Shel Olam. There at least, Ribbono Shel Olam is a mere place. That low, the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't go. The Ribbono Shel Olam is anywhere, everywhere. We have to mention the Ribbono Shel Olam is involved in every detail of our lives. And so Klal Yisrael didn't recognize this. They needed Nissim. But now came Zman of Purim. Zman of Hestaponim, where Klal Yisrael worked, like Rav Huttner said, on that chush, that skill of being able to recognize the Ribbono Shel Olam in darkness. That skill they picked up was such a skill, they didn't need Nissim anymore. They reached a new level now of Klal Yisrael. We can recognize Hashgacha Pratis even without Nissim. And so that was the morning star arrived. The Zman of Purim was a new beginning for Klal Yisrael. If people realize the Ribbono Shel Olam is running the world, they have less questions in life. And this is one of the lessons we have to take from Megillah Esther. Hakira Megillah L'Mafreya. If you read the Megillah backwards, Lo Yotze Yidei Chavosei. You're not Yotze. Why aren't you Yotze if you read it out of order? Pshat is, the whole point of Megillah Esther is for you to have questions. You see a story of Big Son Seresh, and you wonder, what's going on over here? You see a story with Vashti, Esther taking the palace, different things happening, Mordechai taking the horse, and nothing seems to connect. And all of a sudden, at the end of the story, you see how everything tied together. Every part of the Megillah is Nissim, and if a person learns the Megillah properly, you see everything was arranged by the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to realize it's all Nissim. In Sefer Yosef Lekach, he writes, for instance, that one of the reasons the Nes was caused by Vashti being killed first, that was a chelik of the Nes, because otherwise what would have happened if Vashti wouldn't have been killed? If Ahasuerus would have landing up listening to an Esther without killing his wife first, what would have happened is people would have said, he's a soft guy, he listens to his wife, whatever she wants. So he wants to show you. No, he's not the type of guy who listens to his wife. It shows you he kills his wife when she makes problems, when she starts questioning him. So therefore, you see, you appreciate the Nes with Esther even more. So all the way through, you look through Megillah properly, you see unbelievable little pieces of Hashgacha Pratis, how everything was arranged at a certain time to happen. If you read the Megillah backwards, what happens? You know the end of the story first. You know the Ribbono Shel Olam is involved first. So then you don't have the questions. The point is to have the questions, and then you see how the Ribbono Shel Olam answers all the questions at the end. And that is the lesson we have to take out. Hakira Megillah Mafreya Lo Yotze Yidei Chavosei. And the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world. Bereishis Bara Elokim. Rosh Seif Teves of Bereishis Bara Elokim is Emes. Emes, but the Emes is out of order. Bereishis is Sof, Bara and Aleph, and Elokim is a Mem. It's out of order, Emes. But you have to read till the end of the story. Read Vayechulu. Ashabara Elokim Lasseis. At the end there, then you get the Emes you get in order at the end of the story of creation. You see, the Emes at the end is in order. The Ribbono Shel Olam wants to show us that at the beginning you don't see the Emes, but by the end of the story, that's when you understand what the Emes is. Moshe Rabbeinu asked the Ribbono Shel Olam, "Hodiyin Ostrochecho, I want to see, I want to understand everything." Shebikish Loi Diadrochvishal Kodesh Baruch Hu. He wants to understand how the Ribbono Shel Olam works. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Lo yirani odem v'chai. A person cannot understand as long as you're alive. As long as you're in this world, you cannot understand. But what did Rabbeinu Shlom do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him. He showed him, Rashi says over there, Kesher Shel Tefillin. He showed him his tefillin. Why did he show his Kesher Shel Tefillin? So we have to look what's in the tefillin of the Rabbeinu Shlom. In the tefillin of the Rabbeinu Shlom, it says, Mi ka'amcha Yisrael. So the tefillin of the Rabbeinu Shlom have his love for Klal Yisrael in his tefillin. And by tefillin there's a din, you cannot be Messiah Das from tefillin. So he wanted to show Moshe Rabbeinu, you might have kashas, you don't understand things in life, but don't worry about Klal Yisrael. They're in my tefillin. I'm never Messiah Das from Klal Yisrael. Which the Chasam Sofer writes is one of the biggest nissen there is in the story of Purim. Is that not he wants to say not that he saved Klal Yisrael, he took the gzeira off because his wife wanted him to, he did her a favor. The biggest nace is that you look at when did that tzolah begin? That tzolah began with the death of Vashti. When was Vashti killed? Vashti was killed during the party when Klal Yisrael are doing the chet. In the middle of the chet, the Ribbono Shel Olam is watching Klal Yisrael doing a chet, and right during that chet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is preparing that tzolah. That is the lesson we have to take. The love the Ribbono Shel Olam has for us. Mi ka'amcha Yisrael. And therefore, when we have questions in our lives, many people have difficulty with parnosa, with health, shidduchim. There's many questions people have in the Ribbono Shel Olam. We have to realize that the Ribbono Shel Olam is watching. His meitzitz menacharakim, he sees through the cracks. We don't see the Ribbono Shel Olam, but he sees us. We have to search, we have to see. We don't have to worry about the Zman Hest upon him at all, that the Ribbono Shel Olam isn't caring about us. He's sure caring about us. We need Gilu Shechina for another reason. We want the Geula. We want to have a closeness with Ribbono Shel Olam. We have to daven like David HaMelech davened. Adono tastir es ponech mimeni. How long are you going to hide your face from me? We should daven to Ribbono Shel Olam to be Gala the Shechina, which will be Shiva Saim Ko'irachamo. And then it should be like Esther said, Lam Natzeach Al Yeles HaShacha. It was Ayelah Sashach, this is the tefillah that Esther said. She is compared like Ayelah Sashach, we said, to the morning star. She said, Keili, Keili, Loma Zoftoni. Ribbono Shel Olam, why do you leave me? Rochik mi Yeshuasi, Divrei Shagosi. It seems so distant, the salvation. I'm crying, I'm waiting so long for that good or for that salvation. But I heard a pshat once. What it's saying over there is, and the Maisa that I heard that really explains it is, I had a worker once who had been through Auschwitz, and he had mentioned to me that the night before he was discussing over a steak supper, he was discussing with a friend of his who had been through Auschwitz with, one discussion they had had in Auschwitz. When they were in Auschwitz, they were eating their rations, a hard piece of old bread, and they were talking to each other about one day we're going to get out of here, and when we get out of here, we're going to have a whole loaf of fresh bread to eat. That was their dream. Their dream was to have a whole loaf of fresh bread. A steak, they never knew, dreamt of such a thing. It was beyond their comprehension, such a thing. Esther was saying over here, and this is what we're saying over here. What we're saying to Rabbeinu Shlom is, Loma azavtoni, why do you leave me? Rochik mishuasi, divri shagosi. That we think, Mitzvah Shem, there's going to be a geula. And we think we understand what that geula is going to be. It's going to be unbelievable. Whatever we think it's going to be like they thought there in Auschwitz. A piece of bread. A whole loaf of bread. A fresh bread. We have no hasaga really of what it's going to be. However good we think of it, it's nothing compared to it. And it's better than a steak supper. It's unbelievable what that geula is going to be. Something we can't be masik. Like we said, it's Shiva Sayim Ka'ir Hachama. The geula shechina is seven times the light of the sun. Something so beyond us. So Keili, Keili, Loma Zavtoni, why do you leave me? Rochik Mishuasi. So distant will the salvation be. So much better than we think it's going to be, divrei shagosi, than the words of my cries. Whatever I'm davening for, it's going to be so, so much better than that. And Mitzvah Shem, we have to work on this battle about Malik Midor Dor. Nothing in the world is mikra, and Mitzvah Shem will be zoich to the shleima b'mehirah meino amen.